Yeah, I guess I'll just start then. The volume louder today. Yeah, so we're done with all the select SQL stuff. So, yeah. We'll review it towards the end of the semester, but for now we're done. So, yeah. So now we're moving on to data modeling and how it is that you actually like create a database. So you get some requirements like in real life, like the client would be like, yeah, I need all this data available, and then, or you'd figure out what the data that needs to be available, and then you take all of that and then you model it in a way where you can kind of like see the relationships and all the attributes and that the entities are going to have, and yeah, just creating like a nice little diagram with all the stuff that you need, and then later you translate that into like an actual database that you can use. So yeah. This is going to be like a lot like more boring. It's just going to be me talking, maybe like doing some drawings and stuff. So it's okay if you fall asleep. Yeah. So this is an overview of the design process of a database. So you start with like the mini world, which is like a representation or like a segment of the real world of like the data that you want to have in your system. And then you collect your requirements and you like analyze like, oh, what needs to be in the database, what doesn't, what are these things, like what type are they going to be, all this stuff. And then you figure out like what the requirements are, right? Like how does this data like relate to each other? What are like the restraints? Like, can a price go like of a product be negative, for example? And then you move on to like actually creating like a schema, which is basically just a diagram or like a intermediate logical representation of what is going to be in the database. And then you take that and then create like a database, and then you end up with at the end of the day something that actually lives in the physical world. So yeah. So conceptual data models should be like a way to like represent the data in like a simple but still like expressive way, where you can look at the data model and just figure out quickly, okay, what is the data that exists here, how does it relate to each other, is it valid. It should just be like a mess, right? So it should still like, you shouldn't really have any redundancies. You shouldn't have like repeated fields for different, for like the same stuff, for example. And yeah, it should be just something that can be iterated on, shared between multiple people. Usually you work on this as a team, and it's something that it's not like final, right? Like a data model evolves over time depending on the requirements, which are always evolving too, because whoever is giving you those requirements is probably not done figuring out like what they actually need. Yeah, and they're also like independent of like how you're going to implement it, right? This is like a representation, like a from a logical standpoint. But then like one data model or like one diagram can originate a lot of different like database layouts and schemas, and can be used to create like databases in different like types and stuff like that. So yeah, you've seen from SQL that we have like entities, which are like the tables, right? We have like relationships, which is like how do tables like relate to each other. So we represent that with like foreign keys. And then you have like attributes and attribute domains, which is like all the columns. Keys, which are, you know, like the unique identifiers that we have in the table. And integrity constraints, which is like, you know, for example, for foreign keys, can like what are the specific values that this column can have, right? Or for specific like data types, you can have like numbers or strings or whatever. So how do you build a conceptual model? Like in the beginning, you're gonna just have like a huge description of like, you know, this is what we need. It's a bit better structured when it's like exercises here. In real life, it's just like you go into a meeting with a client and you come out like 3 hours later with like a huge like amount of like notes of like, yeah, I guess we need this and this and this, and I just need to like figure out something. So first you identify like what entities, or which are later going to be chem tables, right? Then you're going to figure out how do these like entities like interact with each other, what are like their relationship, and then like what attributes we need to like describe all of them, and what are the keys and all this other stuff. So there are a lot of different ways to like go from a like description of what does the database need to like the actual database. Usually in between we have like a step where we just create a diagram, which is just like draw a bunch of different stuff to figure out like what we actually need and how everything relates to each other, because just from like a, you know, just having it written down isn't like very visual appealing, I guess. It's kind of hard to understand what's actually going on. So we have like a bunch of different like diagram or graphical notations to represent like these relationships and these so you can in Chen diagram we have this diamond here, which represents like a relationship between tables. So this is, for example, if an employee that belongs to a department, right, then you use this like diamond thing. But for this simple line, this is a entity and these are the attributes of that entity, and these are like the relationships between the entities. So entities are whatever, really, but they are like individual objects, or like, what's a synonym for entity? Let me check online. Yeah, ish. It's kind of like, we'll skip ahead in the slides that has the descriptions there. Yeah. So entities can be like anything, really. You know, it can be like a place, it can be like an event, it can be like a concept or a person, or anything that is unique, right? Like you exist you like have value as like an individual, right? So a person or employee or whatever, that means in that specific like context, right? So if you have an inventory, like a entity for objects, could be like computer, table, all this stuff, but it has to be something that actually like matters in the context of the world, right? Like if you're modeling a database for I don't know, like a university, and you only care about like employees and students and professors and classes and stuff like that, maybe you don't want like inventory. You're not going to have like a specific inventory of all the tables that you have, you know, and this is going to be like table one, and that's going to be table two, and that's going to be chair one. Like, it doesn't matter, you know. Maybe you have like a specific inventory of like how many chairs do we have, how many tables do we have, but a lot of times you don't need like specific information about each individual object, because that's just hard to maintain and it's not really like super useful, you know. In a more of like production setting, then you have like each of the parts of each of the machines is maybe like in the database, and it has like a log of this part was ordered in this date, and it has like this serial number, and it has been like has been made repairs to them, right? Because that actually matters. But if it's like, oh, we have 1,000 screws, we don't need like one entry in the table for each of the screws, because you don't have like any really information about a screw, right? Or you don't need to track all of them. Does that make sense? In a way, yeah, cool. So yeah, going back to here. So yeah, we have these entities which are like, yeah, the we've had this discussion, it's okay. And then we have each of the attributes that are, that like relate to that entity. So this is like all the data you need to know about that specific entity, right? So if you have like a database with like students of NTNU, you probably don't need to know, you know, what their favorite song is, right? You might need to know their like their birth date or like all this other stuff, but this is all you only keep like what is the pertinent information to describe that specific entity in the situation. And then you have relations here, which are how do these like entities relate to each other, right? So if we have we seen in like the databases, right? What are all like the employees that belong to a department? So like a relationship between like a employee and the department would be like belongs to, right? And then as with everything, there's like a million different ways of like creating these diagrams and different standards and all this stuff, because no one can agree to anything. So we have like Shen diagram that does it like this. We have like crow's feet that does it like this, where, you know, an entity is like this little square thing, and then like all the attributes are here, and then the relationship is modeled like this, and then there's some like weird notation to specify like what the relationships are and like the how many there are. You need to speak up a bit. So you can see here that there's a CD that has like all these attributes like title or whatever, and then there's a genre that is, you know, R&B or hip hop or whatever, and then we have here multiple or multiple CDs can have relate to one genre. So one genre can be in multiple CDs, but each CD only has one genre. Does that make sense or not? Like, depends on the context, right? Like if you're Spotify and you suddenly like want to attribute like multiple genres to like the same song or whatever, because that's realistic, then you maybe need to like change your data model to reflect that. But if you're like a store that has like those, oh, that's not really a thing anymore, but it has like those like boxes, and then it just says like rock, and then it's just a bunch of CDs. Then you only need one genre, right? Does that answer your question? Or not really. Oh, yeah, this is like, what is the relationship? So you kind of name it to give some more information of like what the relationship is, right? No, it's, well, if you're translating it into a database, then you'd maybe have like a column in the CD table that would be like genre, and then it would be like a foreign key to like the genre table. But in this case, we're kind of like abstracting away from that, and we're just like identifying what are the relationships, and then like we kind of give them a name just so it's like a bit more, makes a bit more sense. There's a lot of places where they don't give names, and it's like, yeah, you know, one to many, and that's enough, you know. But it's, yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the assignments are going to be. Like, the assignment 2 was Chen, right? Most of the slides are in Chen. Like, the notation, like, they're not, like, super different from each other. And from my perspective, it's not, like, super important to be, like, 100% accurate with them. Just because it's a hassle, and no one is, like, really 100% accurate with them. Most of the times, they just do whatever. I would imagine like Chen and UML are like the most important ones. What do you need to take away from all the stuff that I'm talking and showing you is the concepts, right? Because, and the basic concepts is like, you know, here's an entity, here's a relationship, here's something else. And here's like how we represent attributes, here's how like we like denote the keys and all this stuff. But how do you actually represent it? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter like super much, because that will vary, right? And you, like, if you go and work for a company that maybe uses like a different notation, you're going to have to adapt to that, you know? So the most common ones are like, the most common one is UML. So as long as you know that, you should be fine. From like a jobs perspective, but yeah, like the concepts are the most important part. Like, the how do you actually like do the thing? Because like even within UML, there's a lot of like different ways of like, or like some people do it one way, some people do it another way, like some minor tweaks here and there. So it's like, as long as it's understandable. But it depends on whoever like ends up on your team and how much of an asshole they are. Yeah. So entities, yeah, we've been over this, but yeah, it's a concept of, you know, these are all the things that kinda are like the same, they have the same attributes in this model. And they are meaningful, right? So we have like the types, which is like all the entities, or it's a definition of like what the entities are and what the attributes are and all this stuff. Then you have like an instance, which would be like if you have like a database, and you have you know, classes, we would have this class, or if we were talking about like professors, we'd have me. And then like an entity set, which is like not just one record, but multiple, right? So it's a, yeah, it's pretty much it. So here's an example then. So this is a fairly easy example, but this is what you'd kind of like see from an exercise. So these are like the requirements. So the company is organized into departments, and then each department has a name, number, an employee who manages the department. And then we need to keep track of the start date of the department, of the department manager, and the department may have several locations. And then each department controls a number of projects. Each project has a unique name, a unique name and number, and is located at a single location. And then we also store information about employees, like social security numbers, addresses, salary, sex, birthday. Each employee works for one department, but may work on several projects. We keep track of the number of hours per week that an employee currently works for on a project. You can keep track of direct supervisor of each employee. Then each employee might have a number of dependents. For each dependent, we keep track of their name, sex, birth date, and the relationship with the employee. So I guess I have to create this. Let's see. So, we have a company that's organized into departments. First, we like figure out what are the entities that are in this exercise. A lot of times, it's just easier to like do both entities and attributes as we go, but it depends. I'm kind of like lazy to like read the same thing multiple times, so I just try to like wing it on the first try, but I wouldn't recommend it. Oh shit. Okay. So the department. So we have departments, and each of them has a name, number, an employee who manages the department. I might have, I'll move it over here. So department, and then we have employees, and then keep track of the start date, and blah, blah, blah. And then we also have the concept of projects. Projects that have a name, a number, and are located in a single location. Okay. And then we have. Employees, and then a number of dependents we keep track of. Yeah. So this kind of, I guess, makes it easier just because it's every entity is capitalized, but not always it's going to be like that. So didn't expect it to be that easy. Employee. Employees. And we'll put dependents here because they're related to. Dependents. Okay. And then we can start by just going through, and we'll let me see. So we'll just follow like Shen's notation because I think that's like the assignment that you have right now. So you just make a bunch of squares around the things. And then a company is organized into departments. So each department has a name, number, an employee who manages the department. So we can do like name, number, department may have several locations, and then each department controls a number of projects, and then each project has a unique name, a unique number, and is located. Yeah, well, that's going to be a relationship between a employee and a department, so I'm just going to skip it for now. So a name and a number, and it's located at a single location. Okay. And we'll fill in the blanks afterwards. Employee has a social security number, an address, salary, sex, and birth date. I should have planned a bit better how I was going to do this. Okay, whatever. I'll just make it smaller. So social security number and and then each employee works for one department and we work in several projects. We keep track of the number of hours per week that an employee currently works on each project. And we also keep track of the direct supervisor of each employee. And then each employee has a number of dependents. So we keep track of their name, sex, birth date, and relationship to the employee. So for the dependent, then we have name and sex and birthday. So these are like kind of, so you identify the entities, right? And then you identify like what the attributes for each of them is, and then you need to like start filling in the rest. So everything else is relationships and how all this like relates to each other. So we can start with dependents. So for dependents, we have how they relate to each other. So it'd be a diamond. This looks like shit now. I'll take a photo of it afterwards. It would be like depends on, I guess. Yeah. So, and then we would have one we would have and then we keep track of the direct supervisor, we keep track of the number of, we store each employee's blah, blah, blah. And then we have a number of dependents. So then we can specify like what the numerality of this relationship is. That means, is it one employee going to have like one dependent, and one like that same dependent is also going to like relate to just one employee? Is one employee going to have like multiple dependents? In this case, we have for one employee, we have multiple dependents, so we do like 1, 2, n. And then, we have for the employee, it works for one department, but may work on several projects. So then we would have like a thingy here that would be like works. And then one department can have multiple employees. We also can work in multiple projects. And then keep track of the number of hours per week. We also keep track of the direct supervisor of each employee. Oh, that looks like a mess. Whatever. But yeah, so then you just keep on like adding all the relationships until you end up like this. But this is like the basic building blocks. Should have planned it a bit better. But yeah, I'll post the diagram later. So yeah, some concepts then. So entities are objects in the mini world, like as you've seen. So employee, department, project, blah, blah, blah. Attributes are all the properties that are used to describe an entity. So like name, social security number, address. Entity instance is, so say like a row in the database, if that's familiar. So for an employee, it would be like John Smith with a specific like social security number and sex and whatever. And then each attribute has a value set or a data type. So it's, is it a number, is it a string, is it something else? So attributes can have different types. So they can be like single, could just be like a single value. So the social security number is unique, so each person has a social security number. It can be like a composite. So if we're storing like addresses, it would have like a apartment number or house number and then the street and all that stuff. It could be like, say for example, for a name, we have like first name and middle name and last name. Or it can be multi-valued. So it can have a history of, you know, previous degrees of a student, or a list of colors that are on the outside of a car, although that car would probably not look that good. So these can all be like nested, and you can do whatever it is that you need. So you can have like a multi-valued value inside of a inside of a composite, and the other way around, you can do a lot of like a lot of different stuff. So the concept is basically this, right? So if you have like an address, like that's a composite attribute. So it has like multiple values, has like street address and a city and a state and a zip code. And then you have for the street address, it has like a number and a street and apartment number. So you can have like composites nested inside of each other. And then say if we have like, you know, if this is related to like the history of the addresses of an employee, then we can have also like multi-value. So it'd be like address history. And these could be like nested inside of that. yeah, entities have the same basic attributes, and entities can have like keys which are special attributes, like we've seen with the primary keys in SQL. They are like unique and uniquely identify a object entity or entity instance because of it. And a key can also be like a composite. So if we have like this has to be American, but you have, say, like for a license plate there, you have both the license plate number and the state, and those two values need to be unique to identify a specific car, right? But a car can also be identified by more than one unique identifier. So you could have like a vehicle identification number, so it's like a unique number that identifies your vehicle in the system, but it could also be just by like number and state. We represent that in basically all the diagrams with a underline. So you can see here like ID and code are underlined because they are unique and they uniquely identify each of the instances. You can also you can see a lot of places just using a star as well. So it can be like a star before like the attribute name in like a table setting, for example, and this also denotes a unique a key or a unique value. So yeah, for the diagrams that I was showing you, so we have the entities displayed with a rectangular box. That's just a notation that is used to like more easily identify what is what. If you're making diagrams for yourself and you're like, this is stupid, then you just do whatever. You can just use, you know, circles for entities and use whatever you want. As long as it makes more sense to you. The only problem is that then in a lot of circumstances you're going to have to share those with other people, and then the people are going to be confused why are you using circles instead of rectangles. So that's why we use notations. But if you're just doing stuff for yourself, then it's fine. Just do whatever. I don't know. Whatever makes sense. As soon as you like start to need to share those with like other people and have to like collaborate, just use a notation is probably best. Unless you like all agree that like, oh, Shen was stupid, like let's do our own thing. That's fine. So yeah, and then attributes are displayed in ovals, and then each attribute is connected to its entity type. So yeah. And then components of a composite attribute are connected to the oval representing the composite attribute, and then each key is underlined, and multi-valued attributes are displayed in the ovals. So you can see an example here. So we have card there as an entity, and then we have both like the registration and the vehicle ID. They are underlined, which means they're unique, and or they uniquely identify a car. And then you have all the other attributes that belong to the car, so like year and model and make. And then color. So you can see that like there's some cars here that can be like red and black, this Mustang here, or the Chrysler is white and blue. So they have like this double oval for that attribute to say like these can have multiple values. And then for the registration, we have like both the state and the number, so you can have these like both of the ovals coming out of an oval. So an entity set is what we see here. So it's a collection of multiple cars. There are entity instances. So there we have like three different cars, and together they constitute a set of cars. So entity set. So then this goes back to the company thingy. So I'll make the break, do the break now, and then we can keep on going afterwards. Tired of talking to you. the fuck? I was gonna start. I'll just start anyway. Yeah. So we'll take the description. That was, if you're following along in the slides, you can have like the description up while we go over this. So considering like the description of like companies and departments and employees and whatever, this is like a proper diagram of what I was trying to do. So here we can see that we have, it's a lot more complete too. So we have like the departments with a name and a number and locations. So you can see that you can have like multiple locations, that's why it's rounded. And then you have like the projects with a name and a number and a location, like a controlling department. Then you have the employee and all that information. So you can see, for example, for name, what they did was like break down the name into three different, like the first name and the middle name and the last name. And then we have like the dependents that have all the stuff that is needed, right? And this is like the initial design where you, instead of just creating all the relationships using the diamond shape, you can just set it like they do, where it's just an attribute of each of the entities. So for department, we have manager, which is going to refer to an employee, right? And here in employee, we have supervisor that also refers to an employee. In employee, we have the department. So this kind of like, this is an okay like initial mapping of the exercise, because it's a bit less complex than starting with like the whole the relations between them. And then you can also see that in an employee and in the project and in department, we have these like underlined attributes that denote like this is a unique identifier. Each of the employees has like a unique social security number, so this is what identifies like an employee if I'm searching for one. Yeah. Can you like see it okay, or is it a bit like small? You can follow along in the slides too, they're uploaded. So yeah, like this is how you start, right? So the relationships were just represented as like attributes of each of the entities, and it ends up being like very simple. But then you need to define like all the relationships. So how does all these like relate to each other? Because right now they're just isolated. Each of them is in their own like little bubble, and there's no like relationship going on between them. You just have like a project, and it just exists in the vacuum, right? It does have like a location and stuff, but it doesn't, it's not really connected. There's no visual connection between the entities. So then we need to define them. So a relationship relates to two or more distinct entities, and it has a specific meaning. That means that you can have like two-way relationships, three-way relationships of like stuff that involves multiple entities. And those relationships mean something, right? So an employee, like John Smith, for example, works on product X, which is a project, or Franklin Wong manages the research department. You can see here in italic, works and manages. That's important. That's the relationship that those entities have. And then relationships of the same type or grouped or typed into a relationship type. So works on is like all the relationships that link employees to project and to projects where the employees participate in that project. And yeah, and then we also have a degree to each of these relationships, which means how many entities are involved, like on each side of the relationship. So here we can see that for works on, we have employees and departments, right? This is a diagram for like to map relationships. And you can consider a relationship everything that involves one employee and one department. So here we can see that we have a bunch of different employees, and for each employee, one line comes out of it, and we have a bunch of departments, and for each of the departments, multiple lines come out of it. And that basically means that one employee belongs to one and only one department, right? E1 belongs to D1, E2 belongs to D2, if you follow the lines. And it also means that each of the departments can have multiple employees, right? Because we have like multiple lines coming out of it, and we have multiple relations that those departments belong to. So this is a N-to-1 relationship where you have one department and you have N employees. You can also have N-to-N or M-to-N relationships, and that is when it doesn't matter, or like there's just a bunch of it on each side, right? So multiple employees there can work on multiple projects, and multiple projects or each project is going to have multiple employees. Then you also have, you know, one-to-one relationships where you have each employee has one car, for example, and one car is owned by one employee. So relationship types and relationship sets. So relationship type is the schema description of the relationship, and identifies like the name and how many entities participate on each side. And then the set is the current set of relationships. So in this diagram, it'd be like R1, R2, R3. And you can represent like these as like relationship one is the relationship between employee one and project one, right? R2 is the relationship between employee two and project one. So each of these are going to end up being represented as a diamond-shaped box in the diagram. So if you go through the example, you'll end up with all these relationships, and all these are binary, right? Which means there is only two entities that participate in them, or there's two types that participate in them. So works for is between an employee and a department. Manages is between an employee and a department. Controls between a department and a project. So you end up with something like this, which quickly starts approaching this is a mess description. But yeah, if you just break it down into smaller pieces and just try to like isolate instead of just looking at the whole thing at a time, you can see that, for example, like for supervision, we have one employee and then one supervisor. No, you have one supervisor and you have n supervisees, which basically means for each supervisor, you're going to have like a bunch of people that are like being overlooked by them. For a department, you have their multiple projects that it controls, and for like works on, for example, you have one department and you have multiple employees. So multiple employees work for one department. And then you can also see that there's some more like attributes. So attributes can relate to the relationships. So for example, for managers, we have a start date, or for works on, we have like a number of hours. So this would be, for example, if we're tracking the number of hours that an employee works for a project, like that is an attribute that doesn't belong just to the employee, and it doesn't belong just to the project, right? It's something that belongs to both of them, or it belongs to the relationship. So then that's where it gets represented. And yeah. So in the refined design, we have some attributes that are refined into relationships. So if we see stuff like here, for example, we have employee and then we have there an attribute that says manager. That later becomes a managed by or manages relationship. Same for like works on the employee and department and all this stuff. And it's important to remember that you can have multiple relationships that relate to the same entity. So say for example, there we have works on and we have manages. These both involve employees, but it's just in a different way, right? And that's why you need, or you should label your relationships so you can like actually know what the hell is going on. Because if it's just no label there, what do these refer to, right? Yeah, and then you have the cardinality, which are constraints. That basically just specify how many entities or how many participants are there on each side of the relationship. So in here we represent it like that, where we have like the n and the one and the whatever on the side of the relationship that and relates to whatever the line is pointing to. So yeah, have the one-to-one managers, for example. This is repeated. Yeah. Then you also can have recursive relationships. So if one person is a supervisor of another, but then that person can be supervisor of another, and that person is supervisor of another, infinitively. That is also mapped up, or that is a possibility when you end up with like a relationship like this, where you have a loop between the entities and the in the relationship. So here we have an employee, and that's a supervisor of more employees, and then we end up with like this closed loop here that can create like endless recursion of layers to end up with a nice corporate ladder. This ends up like looking like a mess. This is like a very small example too, but you can see that like it kind of stops helping like super much if it starts growing and growing. You look at that and quickly becomes more confusing than what you started with. And that's why like a lot of people kind of don't do any of this, and then they just kind of wing it. But that's also bad, because then there's no documentation of how, what all this stuff means. So it's a constant struggle of like, are we going to like create all these diagrams, but then they're going to be a mess and they're going to be like hard to work with and stuff? Or are we going to just like write the relationships down and write everything in text instead of having like a visual diagram? Because you see here, like there's 1, 2, 3, 4 entities and like 6 relationships. Like some of the databases I work with in production have like 50 entities and like 100 relationships and stuff like that. So then if you just have like a diagram of that, you'll quickly get lost. So it's, the uses are questionable sometimes, so that's why people skip them. Depends. Yeah, a lot of times we do. It's useful sometimes if you have like some more complex relationships between stuff, where it makes more sense visually as opposed to like just full text. But it really does depend like case to case, and it's usually like you don't do like the whole database, maybe you do like a few relationships. But there are also programs that generate the diagrams for you, so you don't have to do it manually. You just put in like what, you just like put in some notation and they'll just like draw it up for you. For the people that like program, you can like define like classes in code, and then that will get translated into like what the relationships are, for example. So yeah, for me, I usually skip this part, but that's because especially if the not many of the programs that I've tried are actually like easy to work with, and then if you need to change stuff, it's an absolute hassle, because you have to like start repositioning like all of your objects in the diagram and stuff. But it's still, to when you're starting out, I think it's a good way to start doing stuff, because it's like very visual as opposed to just being very like abstracted and just having like a bunch of text. But this is something that as you gain more experience, you'll form your own opinion. I'm sure some of you are going to be like, oh, I love UML, I'm going to do this for every project. And some of you are like, fuck this, I'm not doing this ever. Like, it depends. So you mean like if one employee can have like, or if one supervisor can have 3 supervisees, for example? Yeah. Then you'd put 3, but that is fairly uncommon to happen when you have like such specific constraints. But it does happen sometimes. But it's hard to like come up with an example where that is actually like a thing. For most of those, you just have like, it can have multiple employees. Because that is like very restrictive. And say for example, you said that on projects, each team has, you know, 10 employees. That is not going to like generalize that well. And if in a month you switch the size of the teams to 12, then you have to go and change that constraint. And it usually doesn't give you like that much more control over what the data is. Right? But it does depend. So sometimes, yeah, you can do it. Yeah, this is a mess. It's okay. Yeah. So as we've seen, we can have relationships, or relationship types can have attributes. So these are values that basically describe the relationship, as opposed to describing one single entity. And by that, say for example, yeah, I have to register all of my hours that I work, and I work on like different projects sometimes in the same day. So then I kind of need to like specify like what those hours are. And in the system, you can't really like associate the hours that I've worked just to myself. Because then at the end of the month, it would be like, okay, yeah, Bruno worked, I don't even know what the normal working month is. 8, 5, 40, there's 400, okay, let's say 160 hours. If you just store that, or if you just associate that with me, then you just have like, okay, Bruno worked 160 hours. But then like when we go to like invoice clients, how do we like break those 160 hours down? Like we can't, because it's associated to me and it's not like associated to any specific project. If we associated with just a project of like, okay, Bruno worked like 40 hours, or 40 hours were worked on this project and 60 hours were worked on this project, whatever, then they wouldn't know how much to pay me, because there's no association to me. So we can charge the clients, but how am I getting paid? They don't know how many hours I worked. So I can just be like, yeah, I worked all the hours. And then they're like, yeah, I guess. And then I worked like a week. Sometimes it happens, but I don't tell anyone. So then like we need these attributes to describe relationships. So we have both me, and we have a project, and we have Bruno worked 40 hours for this project. And that relates to the relationship between me and the project, not just me or the project. So that's what we see here. Like start date, and we see hours. So then we just put a bubble from the diamond shaped thingy, and we have that attribute. So then we have weak entity types. So some entities don't have a key attribute. So they must be in a relationship with an owner that identifies them. So then they're identified by like a partial key, or by the particular entity they're associated with. So for example, like a dependent is associated, for example, for the first name and the specific employee they're dependent on. So then like the name of the dependent is a partial key and the dependent is a weak entity type. And the employee is their identifying type. So this could be, so for example, if we have dependents or like family members of an employee, and we don't really like, we don't need to keep track of all the family members and stuff, but we just need to know that they exist for some specific reason. Then they're like associated with the employee, but they don't really, we don't really need to like uniquely identify them. We don't need to like go through all the dependents to do whatever. Our way to getting to a dependent is always through whatever the actual employee is. We're never just going to like, uniquely identify a dependent. Then it's okay to not have a key. So in this case, we would have a to identify a dependent, it would always be through the key of their parent plus their name, right? So if you're trying to like get your kids, I don't know if anyone has kids here, you'd always like refer to as, you know, like Bruno's kid, right? It would be like my kid and then their name, as opposed to just like referring directly to my kid's name. You know, I don't have any kids. Then you can also have relationships of an higher degree. So all the relationships that we've seen now have, or have degree two, which means they're binary, which means you have one entity on one side and you have one entity on the other side, and that's it. So if you have like employees and projects, you have employees that work for a project. But then you can end up having like relationships with degree three that are ternary or N, so you can have like, as far as the imagination goes, N-ary. So to describe these, you would see something like this, so you have the supplier relationship that has a supplier, and it has a project, and it has a part. So for, and there's a quantity. So we have a company that provides parts. These parts are provided to a specific project, and the supplier is providing a specific part. So if this was a table, right, we want to keep track of all the parts that are provided to a project and who's providing them. Then you end up with having like three things that you need to keep track of, and you can't really make them independent from each other. You always need the three to identify something. So then you end up with like a ternary relationship. You can you can see there that a supplier can supply a part, then the project uses that part, and the supplier supplies the project. But these are independent from each other. The problem is you can't keep track of the quantity, so how many parts have been provided, because there's that belongs to the three of them, right? A supplier can supply to a project, but we don't know how many parts it's supplying. There's no quantity, because that's like all the parts that are being supplied to the project. A supplier can supply parts, but you need the project to know like how many has the supplier like given the project. And a project uses parts, but we don't know, we can't like make that independent from the supplier because we just have like a bunch of parts, but what suppliers do these parts come from? So then we end up with like a ternary relationship that does that. Another example. So we have all these courses, and each of the courses has a instructor, and then each of the courses is offered during a semester, and then the instructor is teaching during a semester. So the list of instructors plus the courses they teach in and the semester they teach in end up being like a ternary relationship as well, because that is a unique like relationship, right? Like, so one course offering is always going to have like one instructor, and it's going to be taught in one semester, and it's going to relate to one course. So displaying a 1MRN indicates additional constraints. So M or N means no constraints. So it can be zero, it can be more, it can be whatever you want. One indicates that you could participate at most in one relationship instance. So talked about entities and attributes and relationships, how to constrain all this stuff, and then the conceptual schema, then the notations, and yeah, all this other stuff. And here's a summary of all the stuff that constitutes Shen's notation thing that you need for the assignment part. And then we have some case studies. We'll do those tomorrow. It's already, 10 minutes left. That's okay. Everybody has finished assignment one, part two, and delivered it. Everybody passed. Haven't gotten the feedback yet. Cool. I don't think anyone failed the first assignment either. Well, just the people that didn't deliver. Except for you, because you didn't have to deliver. Okay, so I don't know when assignment part two is supposed to be delivered, sometime in October, I guess. But now you can start with the stuff that I've talked about today. If you've retained anything. If not, then just go and reread the slides and look at the book and stuff, I guess. And tomorrow I'll go over the case studies, which is like a bit more practical, so you can figure out what the approach is, just to like starting getting from a text to just actually creating the diagram, because this is all very abstract right now. So we'll put that into practice. And yeah, cool. Any questions? Any comments? No? I'm also ready to leave. So cool. That's it.